Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today we are going to continue in our new series of studies, which we have entitled The Names and Titles of the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the most titled person in all of this world. There are some 120 names and titles that apply to our Lord Jesus Christ. Part of those titles were given by those who knew him, and as tokens of respect. Part of those titles the Lord gives to himself. Part, I know, and under the supervision and the authority of the Holy Spirit, those titles are all given, and they're given for our learning and admonition upon whom the ends of the age have come. Now, these titles, the title is a descriptive name. It's a name, but it's a descriptive name. It's not a surname. It's not a given name. It's a descriptive name telling us what the person is like. And today we wish to consider the redemptive glories of our Lord Jesus Christ that are his by the titles that were given to him. I think, first of all, we must start with the name of Jesus, because that name was given to Mary by Gabriel, and it was announced to Joseph also by the angel of the Lord. We read in Matthew 1 and 20, and verses 20 and 21, Jacob, or rather Joseph, is very, very worried. He had heard that his espoused wife was already with child, and he knew he was not the father. And he was thinking of divorcing her, but not in a public way. He loved her. But he thought she was guilty. And then we read in verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now the name Jesus is the Greek form of the Old Testament word Joshua, and it means Jehovah is Savior. Now the angel tells Joseph, particularly, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus saves his people from their sins. Now, this is important. This is the first time his name is mentioned, and in that connection, we are told why this wonderful person, Jesus, came into this world. It was to save us from our sins. That was his mission as he came into this world. And oh, how great that mission is. Now, we also read in Luke chapter 10, and these verses are generally read around the Christmas season. In Luke chapter 2 and verses 10 and 11, we read there, the shepherds were in the field feeding their flocks by night, and it suddenly became daylight, and they were affrighted. This was a phenomenon they knew was not natural. It was supernatural. And they were very fearful. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, of this angel, the angel of the Lord, used three titles of the Lord in this verse. He said, there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, capital S, that's a title. A Savior is somebody that saves people, which is Christ, and that's a title. And the Lord is a title. Jesus is his name. Christ is his title. Christ means anointed. And as the anointed one, he was prophet, priest, and king. In the Old Testament, the prophets and the priests and the kings were anointed. This was the anointed one. This was the Messiah. And that is a title, the anointed one. And Christ the Lord, that is his title too, the Lord of the universe. And then, of course, you know from the story, the shepherds went and found the baby Jesus in the manger. Now, his name is given by the men of Samaria. I like this one. It's in the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. We read there that the Lord found a woman of ill fame, I might say, of Samaria at Sychar. And he challenged her. He wanted to drink, and she was so surprised that he, being a Jew, would ask a drink of her who was a Samaritan. Then the Lord told her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's speaking to you, you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water. She says, I want the water. And he says, go call your husband. She says, I have no husband. The Lord said, you're right, you have no husband. And the man you're living with now is not your husband. She says, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Her life was an open book to this one. And she said later, I know that when the Messiah comes, he will tell us all things. And the Lord said, I that speak unto thee am he. She went to the city and she told all the men, she didn't have very good relationships with the women, she told all the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Now the Samaritan men came and found the Lord Jesus, and they invited him to come to Samaria. We read in verse 40 of the fourth chapter of John, so when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And oh, what a title! The word Savior here is capitalized. This is the title, the Savior of the world. The angel said, this is glad tidings that shall be to all people. You know, God doesn't play favorites. This salvation is for everyone listening to my voice, everyone that lives and breathes, everyone in the world. God does not play favorites. But I like the way that these men appropriated the Lord Jesus. They said to the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed Christ the Lord, Christ the Savior of the world. Now, I think they have opened up an avenue of thought here that I must pursue. They took a one-on-one relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They were not related to him through the testimony of the woman. They said, we've heard him ourselves and know that this is the Christ. It was a one-on-one relationship. You know, we all must come to grips with the Lord Jesus Christ on an individual basis. We're not saved because we come from a Christian family or that we belong to a reputable church. We must come to Christ on a personal basis. Now, the Lord gives himself a title. And this is wonderful too, in the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, the Lord says there, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, the Lord here gives himself the title. I am the good shepherd. It's the definite article. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He's talking to his disciples. And he was the good shepherd because he gave his life for the sheep. I remember, and you will perhaps recall too, that when Saul the first king of Israel was challenged by Goliath the giant, and he intimidated the whole army of Israel, and Saul was desperate. He wanted the man to fight the giant, but nobody was willing. David, a lad, came forward and says, I'll fight him. And Saul said, you can't do it. And oh, he says, I can do it. He says, when I was keeping my father's sheep, a lion and a bear came to take away those sheep. And he says, I killed them both. Now, in the instruments of weapons that he had in those days, his life was in danger. He didn't have a high-powered rifle. But he killed both the lion and the bear. He risked his life to save those sheep. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He didn't risk it. He gave his life on the cross of Calvary for the sheep. You and I had sin marked up against us. Our record was not good. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as the good shepherd, went out after the sheep that was lost. And he went to the cross and died for my sins. And I'm glad that I can tell you from the Holy Scriptures, he died for your sins as well. And he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Oh, what a title. The good shepherd. And then there, of course, is the great shepherd and the chief shepherd. Now also our Lord Jesus Christ is called the Redeemer. Job himself, way back in the book of Job, is the first one, it seems, to appropriate the Lord as a Redeemer, at least for the benefits of our study. We read in Job chapter 19, verse 25, these words, For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at that latter day upon the earth. Think of Job looking down through those centuries. I know that my Redeemer liveth. He gave him the title of Redeemer. My Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand on that latter day on the earth. This is profound. Job called him my Redeemer. Now, a Redeemer is one who buys back by paying a price. We were sold under sin to Satan. We had sinned, and we needed to be redeemed. And redeemed produces a price. Necessitates a price, I better say. And our Lord Jesus Christ was our Redeemer to redeem you and me from the penalty of sin by taking the penalty himself to become our Savior and our Redeemer. The Lord Jesus gives himself a title, refers to himself as a ransom. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, he's talking to his disciples who wanted to be at the head of things when the Lord came to set up his kingdom. And the Lord was trying to tell these men to be humble. And he said, For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now a ransom is given to secure the release of another. And our Lord Jesus Christ gave his life to secure the release of you and me from the bondage and from the burden and from the penalty of sin. These titles magnify our Lord Jesus Christ. As the study continues, may we catch something of the majesty of our Lord Jesus Christ through his titles. Our Father, today, we pray that you will help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to see what a wonderful person we have in Christ, and that we might trust our entire eternity to him. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.